Giri dola jaju jivanda, midi nubi jindan jivanda, sumba juji pinzo, taji ninyan dindindindi, yon saji biji juji mendo jari lo ninji nindi, sanji jindo midi biwa yin jogu, shu yidaman guru rana mandi lawa niyan da, Sanje Chöda Sanje Chanana Chancho Mado Dane Nyasa Tagi Chukur Jive Sonam Jien Rola Sanje Rupalai Jho Sanje Chöda Sanje Chanana Chancho Mado Dane Nyasa Tagi Chukur Jive Sonam Jien Rola Sanje Rupalai Jho Sanje Chöda Sanje Chanana Chancho Mado Dane Tagi Chukur Jive Sonam Jien Rola Benje Sanje Rupalai Jho
Good morning to everyone. Oh yes, I have been told, but just coming straight out of the meditation, I lost the sense of conventional reality. Children are requested to please go to the next room, and there's a wonderful class for you.
Parents are more than welcome to go with their children.
Dadarinde ji maranzo go da ji chöge ane tawa yong sege da kun dosasana da tawa de ane daja tamba 샤기 토네 마다 도스 렌저스레스
Today is a very special day in that we are here to remember the founding teacher of Buddha Dharma or Buddhism that we are following. In other words, we ask the question to ourselves, what is the source of Buddhism or the Buddha Dharma? Of course, it has come to us from the historical teacher Shakyamuni Buddha sitting over there.
태양 안에 지금 따지하고 덤버디 다 정보링 아니 양구 안데 낸데간이야 아니 지금 폐고야 그다 고버디 아니 가라스너스 안 제 개조 다 인이기 안 저 저 자료 없어 긍신이와 시베 시와 시베 탐해봐 지딘변이 지딘 뇨모변이다 지딘 수수 디캠데스 시송보는신 다지 지딘기다 코아딘난거는 지금 좋아 미소거다 지 뇨모 토송라서바 양거다 지 뇨모 안 자외 뇨모 툴러서바 대답다 밤 매월수하게는 지 탑 마신바 탑 기어왕거다 지 거에 나리야다 동해 나서보시다 용거거든
What is the purpose behind Shakyamuni Buddha's coming to our world, if you ask, and giving all kinds of teachings that he did? As Geshe-la quoted the lines from the treasure of knowledge, or Abhidhamma Kosha, by the great Indian Buddhist sage scholar Acharya Vasubandhu. So basically, what Vasubandhu tells us is this, that those of us who are stuck in samsara, or samsaric existence, as human beings, as well as all other sentient beings, you know, we have what are called deluded states of mind or afflictive emotions within ourselves, such as the three poisonous delusions that we often talk about, ignorance, attachment, and anger. And then there are other delusions as well. Often we talk about the sixth fundamental or the root delusions, and then there are more. Yeah, let's not go there, I guess. So we are very rich in delusions and afflictive emotions, and because of these afflictive emotions, you know, we encounter all kinds of unwanted pains, problems, and difficulties in our life in samsara, and we are seeking a way out of samsara. And how can we, you know, put an end to our suffering that we don't want, and we can liberate ourselves from the state of suffering? And so this is what we wanted to do, and Shakyamuni Buddha has provided us the ways or the means with which we can get out of samsara. We can exit the samsara, if you will.
Oh, the lesson on that, Daja Tamba, Tushi Chimbo Devon, Di, that, Monguru, and the Semje, Tanje, that, Koya Dinalia, and the Dongigi, that, Nashing, and the The word to be a goo, pong, goo, pong, goo, that machine. Tell a missionary and two missive to Ninja Chimbo Gulaki. Then that same jit the dog and turned the yard and the zogbe. Chanjugo Goban, she told those and the energy Chanjugo and Sim Mosipuja Gulaki.
We know Nubu's coming in. Initially, our teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, before he became a Buddha, you know, he really reflected on the suffering nature of samsara that we are all trapped in. And so he came to realize that all mother sentient beings are very much deprived of real peace and happiness. and found it really difficult to create the real causes of peace and happiness, whereas, you know, they always encounter all kinds of problems and suffering. So reflecting on the situation in which we find ourselves in, Buddha at that time, you know, he generated great compassion or Mahakaruna, wishing everybody, all of us, to be free from suffering and its causes, and wishing to help us reach a state where we find true peace and happiness. So Buddha cultivated such a positive attitudes in his mind called Mahakaruna, or great compassion, and Mahamaitri, or great love. And then he pursued, the path leading to complete enlightenment, or what we call Buddhahood, you know. And eventually he reached that state, and he became what we call a Buddha, or fully enlightened being. So initially, Buddha, reflecting on the state of affairs, if you will, of sentient beings. So basically, we have too much suffering, but we are really lacking in true peace and happiness. Buddha cultivated great compassion and great love for us. And through these processes, Buddha cultivated what we call bodhicitta, the altruistic mind seeking complete enlightened state for the benefit of all other sentient beings. And he didn't stop there. He said, okay, now I cultivated bodhicitta, as if that is enough to get to the Buddhahood. He pursued what we called the bodhisattva actions or activities. So basically, we talk about the six perfections or the six paramitas, such as the perfection of generosity or dan paramita. And he also practiced other things, such as what we normally call the four ways to gather sentient beings and benefit them. So in other words, through cultivating bodhicitta attitude and engaging in the necessary bodhisattva actions and activities, yeah. So through that, combining such a attitude and actions, so Buddha eventually becomes successful, to become a Buddha in Bodh Gaya, in India. And so basically, what we learn from Buddha's life story is this: that Buddha fulfilled the two types of accumulation of merit, or what we call sunam in Tibetan, punya, and accumulation of wisdom or insight called jnana, or yishe in Tibetan. So by fulfilling these two types of accumulation, or chok, as we say, through six perfections and other practices, he was successful in becoming a Buddha in Bodh Gaya, India.
What the Pangoya energy? You more two son of sober, tanning energy, you more two loss sober, and you move to what down, and she to what also, Tamje and Bangne, and she tada and Chijato, Musum the Kimbe and Kimba and Toyers.
So when we say he has become a Buddha or enlightened being, or anybody for that matter has become enlightened being, what we are basically saying is, such person has attained a state in which you have abandoned for good all kinds of mental obscurations and negativities, and you have realized everything there is to be realized. Let me put it in another way. What we are talking about here is Shakyamuni Buddha. Now we see him as a Buddha or enlightened being. He has abandoned completely and for good the two types of mental obscuration. Obscuration preventing nirvana or liberation, we call delusions or nyunti, delusive obscuration. Okay? And obscuration preventing omniscient wisdom or omniscient knowledge, we call it shedi. Okay? So there are only these two types of mental obscurations. And in order to become a Buddha, you really need to get rid of, you know, all these mental obscurations, which he did. Yeah? And he has actualized the what we call omniscient wisdom, we call Namkhen, the kind of wisdom that sees everything that exists nakedly, non-conceptually, and directly. Okay, this is the direct perception, just in the footnote, what we talked about the whole day yesterday, right, for people who were here. So this is the kind of the, you know, the ultimate direct perception or perceiver that one could have, called omniscient wisdom, with which you see everything that exists, you know, as if everything is on the palm of your hand. Okay? You can see it negatively and directly. When we pay attention to Buddha's, you know, life, if you will, Buddha's life, you know, has, you know, so much to offer to us, so much to inspire us. And by that, what I mean to say is, Buddha did not come into this world, you know, out of blue, you know, by some kind of osmosis or, you know, some randomly, you know, one day he just appeared, you know. Here I am, which is called the self-arising thing, you know, without need for causes and conditions, just out of blue, you know, you just come about. That, you know, that's how he didn't come to the world. Buddha, you know, did not come, Buddha has not existed what are called primordially or as a permanent entity. Okay? What Buddha's life story tells us is basically he said, once upon a time, I was just like one of you. You know, I was an ordinary sentient being. I was very deluded inside me. Okay? And then what I really did was, you know, I reflected on the state of affairs of sentient beings, the suffering nature of samsara, and then cultivated the positive attitudes such as great love, great compassion, and bodhicitta, and also the wisdom. And through this process, you know, he was able to, if you will, pull himself out of samsara and become a Buddha. And so that should be very inspiring for us, right? Right now, we are in a state where Buddha was once upon a time. Okay, very ordinary, very deluded, you know, and all of that. But there is a way out of this, you know, the kind of situation we find ourselves in. So that is the inspiring story of Buddha's life, I think, for ourselves. And so when Shakyamuni Buddha appeared in this world, right, he basically showed us that as if he had to learn everything from the beginning, right? He went through the education process, and he went through the pursuit of the spirituality and enlightenment, and he brought his own changes in his mind, and eventually he said, okay, here in Bodh Gaya, now I have attained a complete enlightened state. Okay? So what basically Buddha's life story is telling us is this is the process that everybody has to follow, or that one could follow, with which we can bring about inner changes or the transformations within our mind, and we can uplift ourselves from the state of suffering, and we ourselves can also become a Buddha one day.
Okay.
So having become a Buddha, I mean, who has this infinite compassion, infinite love, and infinite wisdom, you know, Buddha did not simply sit idly. He's as if, you know what, okay, I reached my goal, and then I'm going to just enjoy. Okay, Kishla didn't say that exactly, but just to make my point here. Buddha said, okay, now I really can benefit sentient beings just the way I wanted to. I always wanted to. Okay? So out of this infinite compassion and wisdom, Buddha gave all kinds of discourses or the teachings according to the mental dispositions and capacities of different people. So that's why Buddha's teachings consist of what we call the things that we need to learn about. What are the things that we need to get rid of, we need to abandon? In Buddhist language, it's called the objects of abandonment. There are a lot of things inside us, okay, that we really need to get rid of, we need to eliminate. But there are a lot of things that we need to adopt or cultivate. Okay, we call it langwa, means you need to acquire for yourself, you need to adopt for yourself. A lot of qualities and realizations that we need to gain for ourselves. So basically, as we often talk about in Buddhist teachings, you know, what Buddha has taught us, you know, it concerns two things. The practice of abandonment, what we need to get rid of, and the practice of cultivation, what we need to, you know, what we need to cultivate within our minds.
Kharechido minkuku yarasana, semjigi tendo minkuku yaras. Semjigi tendo minyanda tong yingji chimbyo changne, dujilaya, langdogo ne, danyade, tong yingji chimbyo wangu yungu yaras.
So having become an enlightened being of the Buddha, Buddha is you know, always under the influence of great compassion, wishing everybody to be free from suffering and discourses. And that compassion has become a motivational force, or the drive, if you will. That's why Buddha, you know, always, you know, worked for the betterment of us, our sentient beings. So compassion is this, you know, amazing state of mind that one could cultivate. As I said it some other day, that according to great Indian Buddhist sage scholar Acharya Chandrakirti, in his supplement to the Middle Way or Madhyamik Avatar. It is a text or a treatise. And right in the beginning, in his salutation, Chandrakirti salutes great compassion rather than saluting, you know, something else. And as Geshe-la you know, gives the explanation here, Chandrakirti tells us that cultivating compassion is very significant, important in the beginning. Okay? It is as important as, you know, what we call planting a seed in the field. If we want to grow something, we need to plant the seeds, you know, of whatever we want to grow in the field, right? Otherwise, nothing is we can expect out of it. So great compassion initially is as important as having a good seed to plant in. Okay? In the middle, great compassion is as important as what we call the water and the fertilizer or the manure that the farmers use, you know, to cultivate their field. In other words, we need the great compassion to nurture ourselves, to nurture our spirituality, to nurture our kind-heartedness, you know, for sentient beings. It's that important. And even in the final state, great compassion is so significant and important, it is as good as what we call the good bumper crops or the harvest that the farmers, you know, love to see. Right? So farmers put so much effort from the beginning. They plant the seeds, they take care of their field, they water the field, or whatever the case may be, and finally, when they have the good bumper crops, that's what they enjoy. So in the same way, in the final state, in the complete enlightened state, great compassion is, metaphorically speaking, like a great, you know, harvest that one could have. Now, when you have great compassion, you cannot sit idly, not doing anything for sentient beings. It won't let you, okay? So when you are under the influence of great compassion, you just, you know, love, you know, working for and benefiting sentient beings. So this is what, you know, the picture we have of a Buddha who is always under the influence of great compassion, Maha Karuna, who always loves to, you know, work for sentient beings. So that one of the important points I made is that out of infinite compassion, Buddha gave teachings to benefit sentient beings. Again, when we look at the way Buddha gave teachings, it was not like he said, you know what, hey, here I have something to teach. You know, you want to listen to me? Here I am. You know, he just didn't go out to everybody as if like, okay, I have something to say. Now, if you want to listen to. That's what Buddha didn't say. Okay? Buddha examined, you know, who he should give the teachings and what kind of teachings would be beneficial to, you know, certain what called individuals, you know, who have different mental dispositions and capacities. So in other words, taking into account different mental dispositions and capacities of the individuals, Buddha gave numerous discourses or the teachings to suit their needs. So Buddha did not give one teaching. He said, you know what? One size fits everybody. Okay, here it is. He didn't say that.
Oh, then there's some sanje tamjali ya. Chu masum ya de kharas ne kesen ganzo. Ane chi ne yo gyen sum ga de un zha sa yin si. Tian ane be chu ga zha be. Ane chi bu ye wa da yong yu de na da le de ne xin la pen ba yin xi san ba me. Ngo yo sum ne yo gyen sum dan den be kha sa la nge en ten ji chen ma nam de de. Sungbuti, bo me, sena sung tinang xin res. Niu gyun sung tenbe kansa la, an chu, da sung pen togu yuwa ma res. Tizna semje tamje le, chu ma sung yan de res. Niu gyun sung tenge la, chu sung yuwa ma res. Ta chu sung se ne di, shubdin niu gu cingi sung tenge la, an chu, an sung yuwa res.
So one may pose the question, why couldn't have Buddha given teaching to one and all, everybody? You know, why he was being very kind of selective in a sense, you know, he said, you know, okay, I need to consider the mental dispositions and capacities of different individuals, and then I would teach different things to different individuals. And why couldn't he have given, said, here I am, and here's my teaching, here it is, and you just take it, you know? Well, there are many reasons. Remember recently, I was talking about how we need to be free of, metaphorically speaking, the three faults of a container or a pot. Okay, that we can't be like a pot put upside down, nothing goes in. That we cannot be a leaky pot, that something goes in but everything comes out pretty much at the end. That we cannot be a smelly pot that really stinks. Okay, things put in the pot is not usable anymore. So if we have attitudes similar to this, you know, defects of a pot, then we cannot be benefited by Buddha Dharma or, you know, by Buddha's teachings. Okay. So individuals who are free of, or, you know, who make efforts to be free of these three faults of a pot or a container, so they will be benefited by the teachings. So that's exactly what the great Indian Buddhist sage scholar Acharya Dharmakirti, you know, said about his Brahmana Vartika text, or the text dealing with valid cognitions. Remember, I explained it to you. You know, he said, I have no motivation to benefit those people, you know, who have the three faults of a container, because I don't think, you know, my work can benefit them. My whole intention is, I want to benefit people who are the three free of the three faults of a container. So I'm composing this text called Pramana Vartika, or the Valid Cognition Treatises, you know, with a wish to benefit such individuals. Now, I think this applies exactly to Shakyamuni Buddha as well, right? Buddha didn't say, you know, I'll teach everybody, you know, whether you care to listen or not. He didn't say that. I said, you need to, as if the implication of all this is that we as the recipients of the teaching or the listeners of the teaching, we need to make sure that we are free of the three faults of a container, so that now we are the proper recipients of Buddha's teachings. Okay, then we could be benefited by Buddha's teachings. Otherwise, well, somebody could teach us, or even Buddha could teach us, it's not going to work. Okay, benefit us.
Ring 깨와다 참배는 주면자와는 송요리스 다 되리스.
So I kind of, you know, made this statement that Buddha teach different things according to the mental dispositions and capacities of different individuals. So now you may say, okay, what do you really exactly mean by that? Give us the specifics, you know, here. Well, here they are. That, you know, Buddha gave certain discourses or the teachings, you know, to those individuals, you know, who have what we call the mental dispositions and capacities of the hearers or the Shravakas. That's why we talk about Shravaka Yan or the hearer's vehicle. Okay? And then there are those individuals who have the mental dispositions of solitary realizers or the Pratityeka Buddhas. Okay? So Buddha taught, you know, them differently, if you will. Okay? And then there are those individuals who have Bodhisattvas' mental dispositions and capacities, then Buddha taught them different discourses or gave them, if you will, the Mahayana discourses or the teachings. So that's how Buddha, you know, considered these different mental dispositions and capacities individuals have, and he gave different discourses or the teachings to benefit them.
我等着说咋，但对这人群送过来呢，但不年纪的人群，当然年纪的人群的，嗯，听明个对这吃个药的是，嗯，但对这体型的人群啥的，特别清楚的，特别特别，大家这边去送人的，嗯，这体型个多大，听明个多少钱呢？都是你了的是多。
So in Buddhism, we use many different classification systems, if you will. And, you know, one of the classifications that we often use, or the Buddhist scholars we find use, is called, we could, you know, look at Buddhism in terms of two schools of thought or yanas or vehicles. You know, we can talk about Theravadin Buddhism or Theravadin Yan, and we can talk about Mahayan or Mahayan Buddhism. So in this context, hearers and Pratityeka Buddhas or the solitary realizers, their discourses belong to what we call Theravadin Buddhism in today's, you know, I mean, if you look in the footnote, in the ancient treatises, there is also a term called Hinayana, okay, lesser vehicle. Then some take issue with that. Anyway, let's not go there. But I want to say, so those are the interchangeable terms Buddhist scholars use, Hinayana and Theravadin Yan. And so because of that, you know, Buddha's teachings are contained in what we call sutras, okay? So we can talk about Theravadin sutras and Mahayan sutras, okay?
Oh, dinda sonzan ta chik tuja la, an chik langdo gne to zo ta chik thayewa an ten, ta dinda ten chane ta nganzu dia an chik tenbe an pne an tamba chik ten di naga na an chenbe an chunzu ne chik an chik pge.
So we want to, of course, remember the great kindnesses of Shakyamuni Buddha. And so in order to help us do that, we also find, you know, a number of publications or the books or the scriptures you know, that capture Buddha's, you know, life story, okay? You know, where was Buddha born? You know, how Buddha was born? And what did he do afterwards? He came of age. And so what did he achieve at the end? So, I mean, all those things, you know, are contained in Buddha's life stories. Buddhism originated in India, but from India it spread to many different countries. So today there are many Buddhist countries, you know, who follow, you know, different, if you will, discourses of given by, you know, Buddha. So what has happened is, as Buddhism, you know, came to different into different cultures and different, you know, countries, then people of different cultures may have also, you know, developed what we call a different system of a calendar which they follow in order to commemorate, you know, the different important life events of Shakyamuni, you know, Buddha. So the point I'm trying to make here is that we may, you know, follow different calendars, you know, to commemorate Buddha's, let's say, birthday or enlightenment day or, you know, any other days related to Buddha. And of course, I mean, scholars can kind of debate over these issues, you know, who has got the, you know, exact time and date and who really missed it or whatever the case may be. But from our practice point of view, that is really not that much important, you know, who got it right and who are slightly off the calendar, so to speak, okay? As our lineage masters have got this to say, as you know, it comes up so profoundly in Tibetan, and I don't know, I can do justice in my English translation. Ngunjung Tenpen Namdar, the life stories of the great masters of the past. Chinjung Dujen Nyamlen, they consist of the lessons for practice for the later generations. Okay, so from our practice point of view, okay, these important events of you know, great masters, including Buddha, that we commemorate and celebrate, you know, these really provide us for the later generations' lessons to be learned. And how can we emulate them, and their life stories teach us, you know, how can we grow spiritually? Yeah. So that is the more important, I think, I'm a thing to be concerned with, rather than what it calls debating over, you know, the dates and time, etc. Okay, of course, so scholars might like to do that, but we really don't have too much concern about that as practitioners. Okay, we can say, what can Buddha's life teach me? Okay, how can I change for better? Okay, that's what the Buddha's life should teach us, and this is what we should be concerned with.
Okay.
The bottom line is this, that what I'm trying to get across to you is whether we celebrated this particular day on a different day according to a different calendar system, if on that particular day, you know, we really reflected on Buddha's you know, enlightened qualities and we remember his kindnesses, and then we say that, okay, at least on this particular day, I'm going to do my best not to do anything negative, but I'm going to create more positive actions and more beneficial actions. If we did that, so in essence, you see, commemorating that day on whatever calendar system we follow, it would have, you know, fulfilled its purpose, isn't it? Yeah. So and so bottom line is that it doesn't matter what day we celebrate, in some sense, Buddha's important life events, but the lesson we learn is, at least on these particular important days, right, I'm going to do my best to change myself for better, okay? I'm going to see that I don't do anything negative, but I'm going to do all that is positive. If we do that, we have honored Buddha, you know, very much, and that day becomes really significant for us spiritually.
What in the Sundan Aranzo with that chick, Pigelia, and the Nangway guitar chick, Church in Nala, and the Mandawa on guitar, the Tissu Mandawa, those, the tsuyung nga chi yue te wres, yue nzang susu rang gu ngwe ne, anu chik tsuyu jim mandawa, anu chik khenpo chi yada wu yin namda, anu chik pewe tsuyu gu tsuyu gu, tsuyu mandawa yin susu gu di gu thwa ne, tsuyu tila ya, anu sum jia gu thwa ne, anu tomba gu chung bwe, anu chik tsuyu zi ni tila ya, anu chik gewe chu, anu labo chi chuk xia wu nang, susu da kia san res di.
So what I'm really saying here is that as we have different calendar systems, of course, maybe the Sri Lankan Buddhists, you know, they already celebrated, or other Buddhists, you know, the same day we are celebrating now, you know, very recently, or maybe the Cambodian Buddhists, or the Vietnamese Buddhists, or the Buddhists of other denominations may have already celebrated it, yeah, and which is fine, you know, we may have already celebrated it on those days, and if we created a lot of good karmas and didn't do bad, that's really great. Now we have another opportunity to do that, right? So there's really no harm in celebrating the same day over and again at different calendars, because basically, you know, we have more opportunities to do the right thing and the positive thing.
Okay. 간다르데 꾸담벤 튀지지기 요레스 펜테시베 에네 차와기엘이야 안 지 럽트 추벤 지 튀신지기 요레스 안 펜다 단데디 시베 다 테린 세정아 그래서 세정어레스 들라 안 지 다자 담바 안 꾸담베 튀지다 응어바 산기베 튀지 아 다 아 꾸냥엘레 데베 튀지 숨자디가는 테린 지기 요레스고
So according to Tibetan lunar calendar system, you know, because Tibetans follow that, so we commemorate, you know, the important days in Buddha's life at different times. And for example, that on the 8th day of the 4th Tibetan lunar calendar month is considered as the day Buddha received, you know, ordination. Okay, and so today, which is the 15th day of the 4th lunar month calendar, this is very significant in that we celebrate this day as Buddha's birthday, Buddha's enlightenment day, and Buddha's parinirvana day.
Okay. What the sons are touching the energy presents our chick knowledge and session and Mandawa sum and the yoris.
No,
the Sequoia there and the Mazu Pesic, Tembe, Sevanam Dalia and Tumuda, Tumuma, but knew you there as well.
So on this particular day, we said, you know, three important days have come together. Okay, so we are celebrating this day as Buddha's birthday, enlightenment day, parinirvana day. Okay, and so to understand these things, you know, in the if we look in the Tibetan Buddhist system, we talk things from two different perspectives, from what we call common perspective, humongwa, which is acceptable to, you know, others as well, many others, and what is the uncommon perspective. Okay. So when we look from those different perspectives, what is common perspective, what's one uncommon perspective, then we might get a better sense of, you know, these things.
Well, then this is a da penda chubi chewa shili ya ane jik dambe da jik chuegu kolo ane thoma ane jik guaya ge ane tuzi dinshi chuegu saadi ane jik ne wara nasili ya ane penda chubi chishila ane gobe ane tuzi jizigo yoris chuegu kolo gobe tuzi saadi.
So when we look at Buddha's life, another very, very significant, important day that we commemorate is the fourth day of the sixth lunar month according to Tibetan calendar. This is the day when Buddha gave his first teachings or the first sermon at Saranath Varanasi. And Buddha taught what is called the Four Noble Truths. Right? That was his first teaching.
Penda, Guve Tsewa Nishu, Niliya, and Tamba, Halapur, and Tobo Chichin Sati Tsigyoris.
And another important day that we celebrate according to Tibetan lunar calendar is the 22nd of the 9th lunar month, which is we call Buddha's descent from Tushita Buddha film. So this is like Buddha, you know, is coming down into our world from the Tushita Buddha field.
Oh, that's a dark and teaching card that day, and it's a pa, and Jim watching, and Shin Goyati, Gumsi Zoati, tōmbē kēchīng shīyāk shēdō rēs, kēchīng chīyāk shēdō. Tā tōmbē kēchīng tēn tēnī, tūzū tēlē yā, anā chīk bē pēkēlē yā, tīkbā, mī kūwō chūlā sōkwā, tōngsōk chī kāng, tūp tūgī, bāng tō, bāng tō, bāng tō, bāng yā. Tam sī tōmbā tūzō kāng tūp tūgī, sōng yā. Tā tēnē kē, tūzī kiawā chīn tēnē tī nīmā tēlē tā, kēwē chū lōwā chī kāng tūp yā, anā chīyā tē rēs.
So I gave you, you know, some examples of important days from Buddha's life according to Tibetan lunar calendar. But on all every these, you know, all of these days we commemorate, we are basically trying to remember Buddha. Okay, Buddha's, if you will, grace and kindness, you know, to us and for sentient beings. And then, as I mentioned earlier, so on these particular days, at least, you know, we really try our best not to indulge in, say, any negativities, such as the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, right? So we try not to do any of them. And then whatever vows and commitments that we have already taken, you know, we said, okay, on these particular days, I'll do my best to keep my vows and commitments intact. I'm not going to transgress them. I'm not going to, you know, break them. Okay. So this is how we honor Buddha, and you know, we make these days, you know, meaningful, you know, to our lives.
Oh, that's it. The way we go to Angkor, to go bang to ya dang bang bang ya ben ta ta lo bay ya dang. The way to Angkor, to go to go to ya che go ya de. And then the la dun. 300년 다 적고요. 그게 상주교는 원래는 송원하신 자제와던 지지시하고 제수이랑 구시소 교화 중세 다가 지서 탄저적의 천주 침호 다가는 신은 간단한 옛날에 다가는 신 예라든 산주요스 어떻게 토하는 즉 디범이고 뽕 간도시하다 개회취했다 두 간도시하다 내려서
So as I mentioned earlier that basically Buddha's teachings boil down to, if we try to simplify things, teach us two things. What we need to abandon, the practice of abandonment, that includes abandoning all the negative karmic actions, such as the 10 negative actions of body, speech, and mind, and what we need to adopt or cultivate, such as the positive actions and the positive attitudes, and so forth. Okay? So that constitutes our, you see, everyday practice, if you will. You know, the things negative we need to abandon and the things positive we need to cultivate. That being said, in Buddhist literatures, there are certain what are called very concise, if you will, and integrated practices presented, you know, which really help us to purify our negativities, purify our mind of our negativities and defilements, and to accumulate merit and wisdom. Yeah. And one of such very effective and profound practices is called Yelak Dumba, seven limb practice, or the seven branch practice, or 7-point practice, you see. Okay. Now I'm just giving all these options of translations in front of you. Yeah. And so we find the seven limb, or the seven branch, or 7-point practice in many Tibetan Buddhist prayers and texts. Now one such text is called the Samanda Bhadra prayer. Bodhisattva Samantabhadra prayer really is the main source for this 7-point practice. And what are the 7 points? I know you're just kind of looking, giving me that eye contact. So what are they? Here they are. So the 7 points are what are called a prostration, okay, cha seva, and making offerings, shubha in Tibetan, and shakpa, confession or purification of negativities, and yirang is the rejoicing, right, in positive actions. And kurva means, you know, requesting Buddhas to teach or to turn the wheel of Dharma, okay? And requesting Buddhas not to pass into parinirvana soon, okay? And doing the altruistic dedication we call mowa. So there should be 7, right? I'm absolutely sure I didn't miss any in that, okay? And so through these 7 limb or the branch practice, really this is a very integrated and very concise practice through which we can purify our negativities and we can accumulate merit. And we can find the 7 limb practice in many other texts as well. For example, in the Guru Puja that we do, we call the 100 deities in the Tushita, you know, Kandel Hagyama that we always do before the teaching, which we just did earlier. You know, that also contained 7-point practice or the 7 branch practice.
Okay. Then just on that, some building the gala and Tembe Chu Sung and Figure Kandara, the Tembe and Chinjuk and Kajin, 다지 그게 신대 첨부 니로 서봐 다 긴축 초니 안 타가면 시 동아 용서 안 지 프레레 안 지 타야 그 다 한다 다 중이게 안 지 로자월 서봐 다 되게 안 지 로자월 서봐 다 하는 신가 장가 다 지 천지 응무서 안 지 연료가 안 자열라마 왔다 그다 그 진지 첨부권에 안 예라 등바 찬이 안 단단하죠 대 제르야 안 라마치에 초 비야데스 베날 안 라마치에나 예라 등한 거 찬지로 와도서 상물로가 안 지 Ningjita Changchu Singh, and Jig Gulen Lang, and the Pigaji, and that's Jig Gulu Machuetan, and gave it such a guessing can't to do with Guinea, and Jig gave it so and Saya that, then get in jail the Lamacho, Sophia in the.
And so Shakyamuni Buddha is the source of our spirituality or the Dharma or the teachings. And of course, after Buddha came, many great, Buddhist sage scholars and masters, such as the two pioneers, we called Arya Nagarjuna and Arya Asanga. Then there are a whole host of great Buddhist masters, such as, Acharya Chandrakirti, Acharya Dignaga, Acharya Dharmakirti, Acharya, Vasubandhu, you just name it. You have many of them. And then, of course, we have many great, masters of Tibet, belonging to different traditions. And we have the great, lots of us of the translators of the past. So we really try to remember all of their kindnesses. It is through them that we, have this access to the Buddha Dharma and that we are able to study and, practice it. And so by remembering all of their kindnesses and their great qualities, as little later, I should stop there. And so we will do the Sok offering, the Guru Puja. And all of us should do our best to really generate compassion, generate love, generate strongly positive state of mind, So under the influence of this positive motivational forces, then we will together do the Sok offering, right? Remembering the kindness of Buddha, kindness of Nagarjuna, kindness of Asanga, kindness of all host of Buddhist masters of India and of Tibet and and everywhere else. Yeah.
What the just that that because Lama Chibe so pointed to it because Yang Him that that was so seen take up take up that that is getting on something that Zang Zaya Lama lost one how about that that some of them did not yet and that and that draw Mela and Kaya Layu most of that Dembe Kuzok Sinanta Dembe Namdu Sinanta that Pajo on
So as we go through the Guru Puja or the Lama Chöpa, you will come across many powerful, lines of prayers. For example, you will come across a line which says, "Nyange minta takwari shusoso." We request you, we plead you, don't go into parinirvana soon. Okay, please stay here, for a long time. So at such time, we can think about our root gurus, okay, who have been very kind to us. Yeah. And other holy beings, and especially His Holiness the Dalai Lama, right? He is really the true representative of Shakyamuni Buddha, in our world, I believe. And so we really plead to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, to our other, root gurus and the holy beings. We said, we plead you from the bottom of our heart that please do not decide to go into Parinirvana soon, please, stay with us for as long as possible and guide us and benefit, sentient beings. We truly need you. Yeah, so this is, what, we can do as we will do our Lama Chöpa Puja. Okay. And so with that, we are not going to do the dedication prayer because we know it will all come into Lama Chöpa prayer. And we will take a short break so that we can set more chalk on the table over here, and I think Geshe-la, and we are going to move to the front row. Okay, so we are going to face Geshe-la's throne. Yeah. All right, as they say, I think in Hollywood, take five.
Yeah. About a half hour. Yeah. About
a half hour. Two set of everything.
Oh.
So you told the internet people. Really? Why would you say that when we say after the teaching?
We can do it quickly.
Okay, let's take, you know, set the table. Okay, you can take a little break. Yeah, but, yeah. Okay.
Well, okay.
So, no,